sin, of course, so that he could live like we live and he could know what it's like, what we go through, how we feel. And so that he could take the stain of sin upon himself and pay the debt for sin for each and every one of us. And then after his death, burial, and resurrection, he sent back his own life back to the church to give the bride body on the day of Pentecost this very own life and to begin the process of not conforming but transforming each one from glory unto glory to bring about this oneness, to bring about this unity that he's looking for. And as we saw, he made changes in himself first, not changes in his character, of course, or in his word, but in his approach to his elect bride. You see, he purposed within himself to be patient with her and to wait for his word to wash us and to cleanse us and to change us and to transform us over time until his very own image comes into view. And he recognized each and every one of us in our filthy condition. And he said, but that's not who you really are. You don't know that yet, but I do. And he's willing to have us come to him just as we are. Not if I could just get good enough, then maybe I could serve God. Come as you are. Not condoning our sin, of course, and certainly not pleased with our first life, but recognizing that that's the condition that we are in. But by his own shed blood, his shedding of his blood allowed him to look past our faults, look past our weaknesses, to settle the sin question, and then to see us in our mature and restored condition. And that's what he desires, and that's what he's going to have. And as we saw last time, friends, a man and a woman, they must be willing to change a little first in order to become one with their mate. If they truly want oneness, there must be some change on both sides. And true love in the heart for our mate, it will compel us to change a little bit for what is best for our mate and also for what is best for the two of us that are now becoming one. And when we read where Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, the kingdom of heaven, it's not a physical kingdom. He told us that it's a kingdom that is within those that believe on him and then go on to be born again of his spirit. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in the midst of your soul, in other words. And it is a powerful kingdom. How many knows that? And it is coming down among men, but it is not with observation. It is a kingdom that is built by his word, but it is not logos only, but it is living word made power. We read this a statement last time. We're still kind of want to pick up from some statements we made last time before we go a little further, because these things build on each other. From the message oneness, he said, listen closely. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is his word made power. If you want to put that down, 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is God's word made power. What is the kingdom of God? It's within you. The kingdom is in you. And when the word comes in there, what does this word begin? It turns itself into power. It say just exactly what it said. So it's a matter of us getting the word in us, and the word will be made power, and the word will do what it was sent to do. This is what makes the word more than just written word to the believer. You see, if God just wanted oneness with the letter of the word, he already had his word. He was already one with his word. What he wants is oneness with his word made manifest. He wants oneness with word made flesh, with living word. Word that is manifest, which is the interpretation of his word. You see, it's more than just say what the tapes say or say what the scriptures say. The kingdom is within you. Well, I just say what the Bible says, Brother Doug, or I just say what the pastor says, or that may be so, and that may be fine. But if that's as far as we go, you can do that and still be lost. It's more than just repeating what the word already declared. You can quote Moses, you can quote Jesus, you can quote Paul. But that is not the kingdom. The kingdom is God's word made power in you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's that very same word living again through you and in you, declaring what God meant by what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Wait a minute. The kingdom of God is not in word, not in letter word, but it is in living word. The kingdom of God is not in letter word. It is in word, but not letter word, but in power. So it's not just logos, speeches, letter. It is the power of God made manifest in our lives. And a God that can't do what he promised to do, friends, he's not worth serving. But he will do what he said he would do. He will vindicate. If his word went forth, he'll bring it to pass. And I'm here to tell you that the kingdom is alive tonight. And it is power. It's not a theological discussion. It's not curiosity that's open for debate. And it's not private interpretation. It is power. The kingdom of God is power. It's power in you. And it's the same power yesterday, today, and forever. Because it's the same word. Again, paragraph 189, same message, oneness. He says, I'm persuaded that many of us, friends, we receive the Holy Ghost, but we just receive enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to a place where we don't want to lie, or we don't want to steal, or we don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of his church. Somebody say every fiber. God wants to fill every fiber of his church. He wants to fill your thinking. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you. Just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or to your thinking. Just so surrendered in God till his word is just living right through you. You don't know nothing else but God's word. Just stay right with his word. It is life. Amen. Somebody say, it is life. My words are life, said Jesus. He's placed with them teachers believing the Bible, prophets that say the truth, that say, show the same prophecy that they always did down through the age. What's he done? He's showing himself alive among them, confirming his word. His word, the kingdom of God, is God's word made power. Amen. And the church says, so friends, the entire walk with the Lord, it's a choice that each individual must make after we are called by our Father to walk with him. He first calls, he first draws us, and then we have the opportunity to respond. But we make a choice. And it is a choice wherein we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not a physical kingdom, so we don't need to see physically. You can be blind and the kingdom of God can be made power in you. And you can walk in that kingdom. And God has promised every spiritual son, every spiritual daughter of Abraham, that he will change them to bring forth through them his very own image. And he's desiring for each one of them to be one with his word and one with all of the others that are also a part of his word. Because the only way we can be one with his word is if we are a part of his word. And he will have that oneness. In spite of what the devil might do, in spite of what the world might do, in spite of ourselves, he will have that oneness. But what I want you to notice tonight, friends, is that the fulfillment of that oneness with Jesus Christ and Spirit God, it took place after all the tests and all the trials were finished in Jesus Christ. He passed his last test in the garden. Sure, he went to the cross, and sure, he still had all of that to go through, but the battle, the last battle that he fought was to surrender completely. Let thy will be done. Here's what I want. Nevertheless, let thy will be done. And then he began to pray for that very same oneness that was now on display and that would be on display as he went in as a sheep before its shearers, uttering not a word, as he went to the cross and everything else was fulfilled, as he surrendered his life. He says, now, Father, may that very same oneness be in the church, be in those that you've given me and those that will come by their word, by their testimony. And he will have that oneness, friends. How many believes that tonight? So it was then that he prayed for this very same oneness between him and his bride when that oneness was fully on display in his own life. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight is this oneness, it requires each and every one of us to be taken through a process over time. And it starts with a new birth and with a new nature in the soul. And it requires for us to trust him. It requires for us to be patient. It requires for us to hold fast to our faith in his word that he's given to each and every one of us. And I'm glad that God chose to do it this way tonight, friends. Because if it was just something that was handed over to us, what value would we place on it? What revelation would we have? What understanding would we have of what this oneness truly is? Just as it is with our mates. We may start out with the highest of intentions. But the oneness that exists between our mates, it develops over time. And it gets greater and greater and greater. So it's a process that each of us go through as we feed upon the word and as the word is made power and is lived out in us and through us. It is actually us becoming who we are in him. But it takes time. And God set it up that way. You see, there's not going to be a single one of us that's going to say, look what I did to change myself. Look what I did. Why don't you do that? Right? No, it's the word made power in us. Little by little, day by day, here a little, there a little, from glory unto glory. And so what that means is you and I have to remain flexible so that the word can continue to change us and to be manifested through us. Because it isn't over until it's over. Very familiar scripture, Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a complete or fully mature son or daughter of God unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is a process. And it takes the word to bring this about in our lives. And that's why, friends, that's why we ought to come together as often as we can. Because it's the word that's changing us. Again, paragraph 209 in the same message, oneness, he says, here we are at the end time, coming from the east and the west, north and south. What are we doing? We're getting ready for the rapture. We're getting ready. We're holding ourselves steady for a few minutes. We're holding ourselves steady for a few minutes. Listen to this. Till every fiber is filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I received the Holy Ghost. Every fiber of you was not filled with the Holy Ghost. You were baptized in the Holy Ghost. But there's a process over time that we all must go through until every fiber is filled with the Holy Ghost. Then she'll go up. Oh my. Well, it'll just be the Holy Ghost that brings us up, right? Calling his people together to himself in the true oneness with himself because it's his one Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are we all individually baptized into one body, collectively the body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ living with his Spirit in our flesh is serving the church, doing the same things that he did as a sign, as an ensign to the world that we're in the last days and that we're getting ready for our rapture. Amen. Oh, I love him, don't you? And the church says. So this is a supernatural work, we realize. It's a work of the Word by the Spirit, and it cannot fail. Amen. Nothing is going to keep God from bringing this to pass. This will result in the oneness that Jesus prayed for. And his prayer will be answered. And so it's more than just churches becoming lodges where birds of a feather flock together. We've heard that before. It's more than a social gospel. It's more than a political rally. It's more than us just getting together and saying, okay, we all agree on this or that. And it's not something that man can do. So there's no headquarters tonight for us to look to. Oh, there is a head that we all look to. Each and every individual is united under his head because he is the one head to the body, which is Christ, the living Word. So his great desire tonight, friends, is to be one with his elect lady, with his bride. God wants every fiber of our being to be filled with his Spirit. Well, Brother Baker, what's it going to take? How is that going to take place? Why aren't we filled? Why isn't every fiber of my being filled with his Spirit tonight? Well, I'll tell you why. The measure that he fills us with his Spirit by is the measure that we are emptied out of self. It's the measure that we're able to get ourselves out of the way. It's the measure where we're able to die to ourselves and say, God, just have your way. Amen. Well, if I follow this line of thinking, Brother Doug, does that mean that I should stop what I'm doing? Does that mean that I should stay home from work? Does that mean that I should no longer go to school? Does that mean, you know, so that I'm only focused on him? Well, Jesus didn't take that approach. The disciples didn't take that approach. And neither will you and I. You see, you can have your mind on him while you're making a bed. You can have your mind on him while you're driving from one place to another. You can have your mind on him while you're changing a tire. You can have your mind on him while you're going to school. Hopefully you're not changing a tire while you're going to school, but you can have your mind on him. Amen? We can occupy until he comes and have our mind on him. So, we will work until he comes. We will do the things that there's actually a purpose in all the things that we're doing. We may not see what that purpose is, but we're being child trained. We're overcoming trials. It's bringing out his character. It's bringing out his Word by the things that we go through. So everything is of significance. It may seem so natural to us that we overlook the supernatural, but God has a plan. And everything that we're going through has a purpose. So we will occupy until he comes. We will work with our hands, work with our minds. We will study to prepare for our vocation, for our calling in this life. But we want more of the Holy Ghost tonight, friends, than just enough so that we no longer lie or we no longer steal or commit adultery. And we have that much, certainly, by the new birth. We have enough of the Holy Ghost tonight not to run off with another man's wife, not to lie or cheat or steal. But what we're talking about is being so surrendered and so in tune with him every single day that his very will is known to us, and his very will is our desire, which becomes our command. We say, be it unto me according to thy will. So if we're not careful, we will try to bring God into our life, and then we will try to find out where he fits in our life. But that's not true oneness with him. You see, the Word's already been written, so we're not going to change the Word. we're going to be changed by the Word. We're going to surrender to the Word and let the Word do the changing. So it's Him leading us. It's Him guiding us daily so that we can become one with Him. Again, paragraph 211, same message. He says, we're in the end, oneness. Are you so one with God? That's the way you're going to have to be. Yeah. We're going to have to be one with Him till let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Then Christ, His own mind in you, will recognize every word that He wrote. The church collectively is getting together in a union, one here, one there, making up. He said there'll be two in the field, I'll take one. Look, one, look, two in the field. That's in the daytime, harvest. I'll take one and leave one. There'll be two in a bed, the other side of the world. I'll take one and I'll leave one at the coming of the Son of Man. This is God's oneness. The Spirit that you got agrees with this Word. And if you're born again of the Spirit in you will agree with the Word. It's not a different Spirit. And manifests this Word and makes this Word power to act the same way it did there. So the Spirit will do this. Not you, the Spirit. So it's not a matter of you doing, it's a matter of you surrendering. He says, let's say it together. I think we should do this tonight. Oneness with God is to have God's Spirit in you, agreeing with the Word, all the Word, the whole Word, and to make it manifested in power. Hallelujah. He says, there you are. That's oneness with God. When that power works in me, works in you, we are one. Amen. He says, brother kid, when the power of the Holy Ghost in me works in you, there's no disagreement. The Word's there. It works. Amen. It makes it what it is. God made flesh in you by His Word. The Word made power among you, every word. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Listen, friends, we do realize tonight, I hope, that the message, the end time message, is not a new stack of thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's not, well, there wasn't enough there and we got to restore it. So we need some more thou shalts and some more thou shalt nots. That didn't work in Moses' day. So why would we think it would work in our day? It won't bring true oneness with Him. Just telling us, do this and don't do that. That won't bring the oneness. It's not the church handing out to people a quote book. It's not the church highlighting the Bible and saying, this is what we want to emphasize. Here's the doctrine we want you to focus on. Here, take this with you. It's the person of the Word Himself living out His Word through you and in you. It's not just you nodding your head and saying, I agree with everything that is said. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. That's a good start. But it's you eating that Word. And then it's you becoming what you ate. It's you becoming the Word and the Word becoming you. It's you and the Word blending together. And it is the Word in you made power, doing in you and through you what it was sent to do. And then that's the interpretation of it. End of discussion. End of story. So it's the same. Think about this. If we go back before time, way back in the beginning, we know that the Word was first a thought. It was a thought in God's mind and His thinking, right? And then that same thought became Word. And that Word was with God. That Word was God. It's God in another form. So the thought became a word, right? The same thought became the same word. And the same word then comes into you and I when we hear the word and we are feeding on that very same word. And the very same Spirit will quicken that word to become power in your life. It's not us doing anything. It's the Word made power. So do we realize that tonight? If you are born of that word, you are a part of the word, and you will receive every word. If we're struggling with the word, we just need to get born again of the word. Because if the word is in you, you won't struggle with it. If you're born again of the word, you're a part of the word. How could you deny yourself? And certainly the spirit that's now in you won't deny the word. You won't understand it all. Certainly not right away, and it'll unfold to you and be revealed to you, but you will believe it. And that word will then do the work as it's quickened unto you. And it will keep you. How many believes that? It'll change you. How many believes that? It'll direct you. How many believes that? It'll comfort you. How many believes that? It'll provide for you. How many believes that? It'll counsel you. How many believes that? It'll intercede for you. How many believes that? It will quicken you. It will change you from glory unto glory unto glory. Until we come forth in His glory. That was His prayer. So let it be written, so let it be done. So when the word comes in your soul, friends, it releases the power to make it live. We always get so hung up and worried because how am I going to make this word live? You aren't. What you're going to do is surrender and let the word in you manifest itself because the power is in the word. So it's you eating that word and then becoming one with it. You are what you eat. You eat the word, you'll become the word. Oh, if I could just do this, and you know, if I could just do that, and I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that, and the devil's got me convinced that I'll never amount to anything because I keep struggling with this or struggling with that. Listen, friends, if you see a rattlesnake in your path that's bothering you tonight, something that you know needs to be changed, and maybe something that you're struggling with to overcome, and maybe you struggled with it for a while, what you need to do is eat the word for your situation. Find out where thus saith the Lord is for your particular situation. Meditate on that. Speak it. And then let that word become power in your soul. And watch that word go to work in your life. Forget about whatever this issue is. Let the word overcome that thing. Oh, it'll do so much to encourage you. Because you'll realize, you know what, I've been struggling and struggling and struggling, thinking that I got to do this or that or the other. I wish I'd have just surrendered to that word sooner. Just committed it unto the Lord, because the word has made power. And it will bring to pass in your life. But friends, you got to feed on the right word. Hallelujah. So recall, in the beginning, the Logos went forth and declared, let there be, let there be, let there be. And maybe nothing happened for a long time, at least that you could see. But maybe just, you know, right after it was spoke, let there be. Maybe just an atom or two burst forth at first. And you can't see an atom. You can't, it escapes your notice, right? But what is it? It's the word being made power by the power of God. And yet, we want everything to take place instantly. And if it doesn't happen instantly, well, then we don't believe it. Right? We doubt the word. And when we doubt the word won't become power because it's not a living word that we've taken into ourselves. We're doubting it. When you pray and you ask God for your healing, believing that you will have what you ask, your healing might start out as just, if we could put it this way, maybe just a few atoms in your body being ordered to go to a certain place. Just a change that doctors can't detect. And certainly your natural senses can't detect them either. Nothing you can feel. Nothing you can see. But God's word in your soul is moving by His power. And that's all we need. That's all we need to hold on to. That's all we need to confess. Don't look at your symptoms. Don't look at the conditions. Don't look at anything else. Keep your eye on the word. The word will be made power. And it'll bring to pass what you've asked for. Otherwise, God's a liar. He's not a liar tonight, friends. God had a great plan for his creation. But how long did it take for all of his great plan to be made manifest? Well, he started out, we understand, by writing his first Bible in the heavens. He wrote it in the zodiac. How long did that take? I don't even know if that's a valid question. Eons. Billions of years, perhaps. And who's changed God's Bible that was written in the heavens? Who's altered it? It's still in its orbit. It's still declaring what he said. And then he wrote his word in a pyramid. You know, 6,000 or so years ago, 5,000, somewhere around there. How long did it take from the time he wrote it in the stars until he wrote it in a pyramid? And then he wrote it in prophets and in the lives of prophets. And prophets wrote it on paper. How long did that take? How long of a process was that? And then he began taking what was on paper and what had been spoken, and he started taking that and wrapping flesh around it and making it live. Making his word power, making that power then manifesting that word in you. Friends, that's the whole point. God's always had his thoughts. He's always had the word. What he's waiting on is the manifestation. Amen. Nothing stopped him this far. Why would we doubt that anything would hinder the fulfillment of it? I mean, just looking at the zodiac. I mean, you want to blow your mind? You want to drive yourself crazy? Just look at the zodiac and how God watched. Look at all that had to take place. I mean, if we were to do a study on that, it would take us months, years to look at what every constellation, every star, each one of those things that make up the zodiac, there's untold numbers of stars and solar systems and constellations that had to be in its place and had to be held in its place. And as we mentioned here a few services back, there's black holes out there that could suck in things like that, like a vacuum cleaner. But they aren't. Why not? God's watching over his word. Blessed be his wonderful name. So the key to us becoming one with him is to take his word in us and become one with his word. And the word will do the rest. But what we've tried to do is we start out generally trying to conform to God's word, and perhaps we try to get others to conform to his word. Well, we found out God doesn't like this and he wants that. And so, you're coming in off the street. Okay, do this and don't do that. But when it's us doing it, we usually misinterpret the meaning of that word to begin with. We don't have a revelation of what it is that, what the thought was, what God meant by what he said, what it is that he's wanting to be made manifest. We've got the written word, we've got letters. But what exactly did he mean by that? And then we try by our own might to give life to it. We try to make it happen. And we end up with divisions. And we end up with disappointments. And we end up with impersonations. We end up with a great big mess called religion. Everyone saying, I'm doing just exactly what God wants. God's word in our soul, on the other hand, is power. And that power, friends, will bring that word to pass in our lives. This is the key. That power will bring that word to manifestation in our lives. So if it's us trying to bring the word to pass, we'll have people that say, well, there's no unity in the body. And if that body is surrendered to the word, well, then that person that says there's no unity, that person will be telling the truth about their unity because they have a different idea about what that unity looks like. But it's not subject to private interpretation. You see, People that leave churches and go from church to church, they do so many times because they haven't found the church that will bend to their will. They haven't found the church that reflects what their idea is of the Word of God. And since they don't find people uniting together with their ideas, they leave saying there's no unity. And they're right. There's no unity with them. And Paul said they went out from us because they were not of us. Oh, and I know that sounds harsh. But friends, what did Paul mean by that? What did Paul mean by they are not of the Word? You say, oh, that's a horrible thing. If you are of the Word, we will unite. The Word is not a respecter of persons. God is a respecter of His Word. And if His Word's in you, there will be a uniting. Certainly that unity grows. Certainly that unity increases. Certainly that unity comes to maturation, if you will, as we become sons and daughters of God, surrendered to His will, and we grow up in Him. But it will be there, and it will hold. You see, the churches that Paul established, they were uniting together with the Word. That was the thing that Paul was trying to unite them all together with. Now, did they have issues? And did they have issues that had to be ironed out? Of course they did. Will we have issues? Of course we will. But what tool was used to bring that unity? The Word. I know it sounds rough, friends. But if we are all surrendering to and believing the same Word, won't it produce unity among us? And the church says, amen. Sure it will. That's the only way that it'll happen. Now, we know that if a pastor leaves the Word, well, then you leave the pastor. But make sure first that it's the Word that he's left and not just your idea about the Word. So people will come to church and they'll have different ideas about the Word. And when something is preached that is different from their idea, well, then they'll get quiet, or maybe they'll get puffed up like a bullfrog, and maybe they'll talk about it all day long for the rest of the day. That's all that they can focus on. They missed everything else that came forth. But a born-again believer in the Word will pause and will say, well, you know, maybe, just maybe, I have the wrong understanding on this, because the Word was sent to unify the body. And the rest of the body seems to be united around this. And it is the Word. So maybe I'm the one that needs to change. But as long as we say, you know, well, bless God, Brother Baker, we know that we're all not going to agree on everything. People will take that, it's a true statement, but people will take that further than it was intended. And they'll use that as an excuse. They'll use it as a crutch. They'll hold on to their favorite thoughts on the Word, and they'll be comfortable with that because they say, well, we're not all going to agree. And then they will hold themselves back from becoming one with the Word and one with the body because they've just made up their mind, this is what I believe. Now, friends, if the Word is preached in this local church, according to the Word, that you receive the Holy Ghost after you believe, and you, on the other hand, say, well, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I received the Holy Ghost. Well, you're wrong. And you're going to have to change that thought, because that's not what the Word says. So I don't care what your experience was. And there's the rub, right? Well, I never had an experience, but I know I got the Holy Ghost. Well, there'll be a vindication in your life. There'll be a change in your life that you can point to. If it's just a matter of us agreeing, the denominations do that. In fact, they've got a catechisms and quotes and statements of our faith, and they can say it all the same way, memorize it, write it out. But there's no unity. There's no unity with the Word. So if we hold on to the expectation that we will always disagree over the Word, guess what? We will always disagree over the Word. And that's why some pastors will never preach on things that might cause a stir in the body. They preach a watered-down gospel that is so weak that it's absolutely powerless. But maybe it sounds good enough to keep some kind of false unity that's in the church. But the true believer is confident that the true word will be preached. And it will produce the unity and the oneness that Jesus prayed for. Friends, if we're afraid of that and if we're afraid of God's provided way of bringing it, well, we just need to get back on our knees and find an altar somewhere and say, God, I'm going to die out to myself. And I'm going to take, I give my life over to you. I'm not going to run it anymore. So I'm not going to be afraid of this and afraid of that. I'm going to trust you. Here's your plan. Here I am, Lord. I surrender. Be it unto me according to thy word. God desires oneness. God sees the confusion that's in our day. God sees the pressure that we're under. God sees the demons that are going to and fro. He sees all the negativity. He sees all the chaos. And yet he hasn't changed how he does things. He hasn't said, well, I didn't see this coming, and so maybe I need to make some modifications here, because just sending my word, that's not going to be enough. No, it is enough, friends. He does not change how he does things, and we are kept by the word made power. And the church says? Friends, if this is digging in just a little bit here tonight, it's not to make you feel bad. But if it is digging in, if you sit there with your wife or your husband or by yourself, and every service you come, you got something to chat about because you're just not quite sure this or that, well, why don't you call a showdown? Because how are you ever going to have unity with the body? Otherwise, we are a collection of churches. Right? We've got a one-man denomination over here, and a one-man denomination, a one-woman denomination, right? We're talking about a body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. From harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one, not for some man to be over something. It'll never work. One denomination wants to take over the other. One man wants one man over the other one. But that you might be one with God. Like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. That he was the Word. And Jesus prayed that we might be with the Word. We might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. So his prayer is that we might be the Word. He was the Word, and his prayer is that we might be the Word. He says, see how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do it, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Amen. And the church says, amen. Hallelujah. Friends, he's vindicated his word this hour. He's interpreted his word by bringing it to pass, by manifesting it. He's restored his word in this hour, right? So what an opportunity has been presented to you and I tonight to actually become the fulfillment of this prayer. You see, there was a certain amount of unity in the Dark Ages amongst the believers that didn't deny the Lord. But this oneness that he's looking for, this mature oneness, this complete oneness, it couldn't be manifested in the Dark Ages at the same level that it will be fulfilled in this day, because they didn't have the Word, and it's the Word made power that brings this to pass. Father, make them the written manifested living word in this hour. That's his prayer. What say you tonight? Be it unto me. So as long as it's just written in the word, it can be questioned. But when it's manifested, it reaches its perfection, Brother Branham says. God's desire for his word is for it to bring to pass what it was that he sent it out to do. And the end time church is the written word being made manifest, being read of all men. So God is not looking for oneness with a book. He's not looking for oneness with our Bible. He's not looking for oneness with a tape or with a media playing machine. He wants oneness with the living Word that's made flesh. And if there is a oneness between each of us and God, well, guess what? There will be a oneness with each of us and the rest of the body. We won't even have to try to do that. It's our oneness with Him that'll bring this oneness. And the church says, amen. Some will leave the church saying, there are new people coming in and they don't believe just like the rest of us. Oh, I see. It's us four and no more, is it? And each of us, of course, when we came together, each of us were instantly united under one faith, right? So we're not willing to wait for God to bring somebody else along. And we're not confident that God can bring somebody else along. We just want to be surrounded by those that we all totally agree with and we're all on the same level with. And God help us if that's our desire here tonight, friends. And we have had people say that. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body," somebody say one body. "For as we have many members in one body," and that's the whole mystical body, not just this local body, but the mystical body. "As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." So God made us different on purpose. He has a place for each and every one of us in the body on purpose. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." So God puts people in the body that their part is to give. Let me say that again. God... Ouch, that ain't me. Okay, all right. God puts people in the body and their part is to give. I'm not asking here tonight. But there are people that are put in the body just to give, right? And if you are put in the body to do that, do it with simplicity. Don't blow the horn. Don't make it complicated. Just do it. Just shut up and do it. "He that ruleth..." Uh-oh, we better skip over that one, because we don't believe in that, right? "He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Not, okay, I guess I'll forgive you again. Where's the cheerfulness in that? We are baptized, friends, by God Himself into one body. Each and every one of us. You see, He takes each and every individual that has that seed gene in them and places them in a body. He watches them. He justifies them. He sanctifies them. He watches them. And when He sees that you are ready to completely submit to the Word, well, then He fills you with the Spirit. And He baptizes you into one mystical body. And that body is made up of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people. So it's made up of all kinds of people, all kinds of languages, all kinds of backgrounds. And when He baptizes us as individuals into this one body, it's a grand equalizer. Because we don't know one another after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So whether we're white, black, yellow, green, red, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do, and we don't have to be taught how to get along with one another. Right? There's nothing in us that wants to be disagreeable. We will be different physically, but we will be the same spiritually. Amen. Nothing can separate this body. How many believes that? Amen. Nothing can separate this body. That's what we ought to be looking for. If we're looking for something in a church, we should be looking for that unity. Because it will come to pass. God promised it. So we ought to check every thought. Every thought that comes through our mind, and we have a little check mark. I'm not saying that you have to just agree. But if you don't agree, you ought to pray about it, seek the Lord, talk about it. Amen. Put it before the Lord, but not just, you know, well, I'm waiting for Brother Baker to change. I'm waiting for God to show him the truth on that word so that he can see it just like me. That's not going to bring unity, right? There still might be a unity that's taking place in the body. You just won't be part of it. And the church says, we have to trust him, don't we? And if we have the same spirit, the spirit in us will bear witness. Hallelujah. So nothing can separate this body. There will be those that come and go, finding that they don't fit with this particular body or that particular body, but that's not our concern. Our concern is coming together with the Word, by the Word, and frankly, that's the pattern throughout all ages. And we will have preferences after the flesh, but not in the soul, and the church says. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread. Bread? When did we become bread? We, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. We're not partaking of ourselves, bread, and we're partaking of ourselves. He's the first sheaf wave that was waved over the people. He's the first loaf, right? And we're partakers of that bread. But he told us there's another loaf that will be waved. And this other loaf is the bride body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Friends, we are what we eat. If we eat the Word, we are the Word. So this is the second wave loaf that's being waved. The first was Christ himself. The second is the mystical body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, there was word seed that was laying there, ready to receive that. So it came down on word seed, and it was a fire. It was a fire that came down, and what it did was that fire then turned that seed into a loaf of bread. And that's why it's so important that we don't mix anything with that seed. Because we're told that if there's any leaven at all that's mixed in with that, it'll leaven the whole lump. The bride of Christ became the bread wife of Jesus Christ. And as we eat this word, we become one loaf of bread by the power of the word. We come together as individuals. But as we eat that word and as the Holy Ghost comes upon each and every one of us, it brings us together into one loaf. So we start out as individuals with so many differences, physically, mentally, spiritually, theologically, politically. But the ingredients are placed in a bowl and they are mixed together. The grain is first beaten to bring out what was in the grain. And then the beaten grain is mixed together, and then it's run through the filter of the word. It's run through a strainer so that only what is strained ends up becoming bread. Whatever else doesn't pass through the strainer, it doesn't become part of that loaf. But by the time all the mixing is done, there's no longer any difference in the mix. We might be white, we might be yellow, we might be red, we might be this language, that age, this position, this idea, that idea. But by the time we're all mixed together, it's one mix. You can't find the individual because we're all mixed together. And then the Holy Ghost burns that mix and it becomes a loaf of bread, bringing forth a sweet aroma. Somebody say, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Wait a minute. Christ is one, and Christ and His Father are one, and as Christ is one, so are we all one? That's what He said. That's what Paul said. So that means that we must recognize the Christ in this hour. We recognized what God did in 1963. But what is He doing tonight? Oh, we're just going to listen to the tapes because, well, is Christ doing something else right now? He is. And we must recognize Christ now. And we don't want to turn away whatever Christ is doing. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. And that word Gentiles, there's a lot of difference in Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We'll skip down to verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. There's not a one of us that said, you know what, I want to be a preacher. So God, make me a preacher. No, first of all, if that's what you want, God never did call you. You will be put in the body to do a certain thing. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now, how's God going to make sure that we're not all preachers? Because He's the one that put the body together. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, the hand and the eye have to work together, right? For the hand to reach out and grab what is needful to be grabbed needs some help from the eye, doesn't it? And the eye can say, well, I see it. Yeah, well, good luck getting it by yourself. Sounds like you need a hand. Oh, that's a good one. Sounds like you could use a hand. So they have to work together, right? Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. We spoke on this before. You know, your liver is absolutely necessary. You can't live without it. But you hope you never see it, right? It's not a comely member. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Once again, the liver, the kidneys, so on and so forth. For our comely parts have no need. You could live without your nose. You could live without your ear. But you can't live without your liver. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Listen to this, that, here's the purpose, that there should be no schism in the body. So the body is to work together. But that the members should have the same care one for another, regardless of what part we have in the body. We have the same care one for another. So for one of us, it might be, well, we'll get to that in a minute. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. We don't get jealous. We don't say, well, bless God, how come that didn't happen to me? Because it didn't happen to you. But if we're all part of the same body, you share in that. Because it reflects on the whole body. He says, now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. This is Him doing it, right? Some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Well, how come I can't perform miracles? Because you aren't called to do it. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. You realize there are some people that are in the body that are just there to help. There are some that are in the body just to hinder. But there are others that God put in the body that are there just to help. How many believes that? Governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So, some of us are maybe in the body because our evangelists are going out. Brother Andy's going out. Brother Eli's going out. And you're in the body to pray. That's your part. You're in the body for other reasons, but your part in the body is to pray for Brother Andy. And guess what? Nobody will know about that. Right? Nobody but you and him. And you won't go around telling everybody, well, bless God, yeah, I heard he had wonderful meetings. You know why? I prayed for him. Man, oh man. He better start paying me. He better be nice to me or I won't pray for him. You'll do what you do because of what you are in the body. And the church says. Amen. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace. We sing that song, he is our peace, who has broken down every wall. This is where this comes from. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There was enmity between us and God. So if there was enmity between us and God, necessarily there was enmity amongst ourselves. But he broke down that wall. Aren't you glad tonight, friends? One more scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Somebody say one body. There is one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God. And Father of all, who is above all, who is through all, and is in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. One more quote. Brother Branham says, my ministry is a ministry trying to unite the body of Christ together. Why was he sent? To unite the body of Christ together. To unite the body of Christ together. Is his ministry a failure? Come on, friends. My ministry is a ministry trying to unite the body of Christ together, not unite denominations to one denomination, but unite brothers and sisters as one group of people, one purpose, one heart, one in unity, and the purpose is to see the coming of the Lord Jesus. Friends, we should get desperate over this, really. We've got an opportunity. We've got a new year coming. I'm trying to put something for us to aspire to, something for us to look to in this coming year. Because there can't be a coming of the Lord Jesus unless there's a body that's united. Unless there's a body that's one. And that must be our desire. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, God will put that desire in you if you are a part of that body, right? Friends, we weren't even lovable at one time. So God made us lovable. He couldn't even look upon us because of sin. But he did something so that he could look upon us. We weren't lovable, so God made us lovable. We had a desire to live our own life, but God changed our desire. And God put in you a desire to be like him. He put in you a desire for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in order for there to be a coming of the Lord Jesus, a body change, a rapture, there has to be a body that's united together. I'm not talking about the dead in Christ. We will unite with them when they come forward. But we have to be united first, or they'll stay there waiting to come forward. How many believes that? We've got the Word. Why was the Word sent? So that God's purpose can be fulfilled. So that God's desire can be fulfilled. That they may be one as we are one. Let's stand tonight. John 17, 23, I in them. Now how is He going to be in you? He's in you by His Word and Spirit. I in them, Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know, not the world think or the world, but the world will, it'll be proven to the world that Thou hast sent me, that Christ was sent to the world. It's proven by Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if Christ is in you, it'll bring that oneness. And people will see that. As we said before, they took notice of the early church. They took notice in the early ages of the church. Heathens did. Boy, they sure do love one another. They sure do stick together. They sure do stand side by side. One might be a Phoenician, one might be a Greek, one might be a Spaniard, one might be this, one might be that. But look at the love that they have one for another. Look at how they stand. Friends, this is heathens recognizing this, right? And it should be something that's recognizable, right? Oh, those people are crazy. Those people are absolutely nuts, but they sure do stick together. They sure do love one another. When one hurts, they all hurt. When one's down, they all gather together to bring that one up. They sure are united together. That the world may know that Thou hast sent me and has loved them as Thou hast loved me. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand here this evening, Lord, I know that there are much better speakers. I know that there are much better ways of bringing thoughts across. And I know, Lord, that as we get a little older, we can't remember as much and we rely on our notes a little bit more. But Lord, Your Word is still the same. And the Word that You put on our heart is still the same. Maybe our delivery might be this way or that way, but Your Word never fails. And Lord, if Your Word is believed and is preached, it's quickened, it'll go forth and it'll find its resting place. It absolutely will not return unto You void. But it'll find that soul that's longing for it, that's desiring to feast upon Your Word. And that Word in them is power. And Lord, it'll produce in them what You sent it to do. We can debate tonight what the rapture is going to be like. We can all discuss it. We can have all different kind of ideas of what it's going to be like when the dead in Christ rise and eventually we're all gathered together. And we have a right to different thoughts on it, perhaps, because it hasn't been manifested. But once the Word is manifested, that settles it. Once the Word is made flesh, that is the interpretation of it. There's no longer any guessing. There's no longer any opinions. So, Lord, we know that there are things yet still out in the future that we're looking at like through a glass darkly, but we know that one day we'll see it face to face. One day we'll see the manifestation and that will become the interpretation. In the meanwhile, Lord, we're believing. In the meantime, We take what your word has declared. Lord, I'm so thankful this evening. Don't let it be lost on us tonight, Lord, that it wouldn't even, it's absolutely impossible even for your word to unite us together in this last day if you hadn't sent a prophet first. Because we had so many different interpretations, so many different Jesuses to begin with, different Bibles even. But Lord, you sent one restored word, and your word comes to your prophet first. And you made that word live. Now it's settled for us. That word has been made manifest. It means what you said it meant. You said it, and now you've performed it. And so, Lord, we can rally around. It's been demonstrated. We're without excuse. Not that we're looking for an excuse, because we're not. We want to see your word manifested in its fullness in our lives and in our church, in our loved ones. We want your will to be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. We want to see this unity, this oneness that you so desire in a body. But Lord, we realize that it couldn't have happened without there being a restoration of the word. And not letter word, but word made power. Now, Lord, that very same word that was made power, that we saw demonstrated in our day, we have every right now to take that very same word into us and expect for the very same power that's in that word to perform whatever it is that we have need of. And Lord, we know that you're not a respecter of persons. You're a respecter of your word. Before your word became real to us, before your word was restored to us, we didn't know what to believe or how to believe your word. We had different ideas on it, very sincerely wanting to see your word come to pass. But when you said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea and don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what it is that you ask. We had no idea what to do with that scripture. And actually your messenger didn't know where to place that in the atonement himself until, Lord, you quickened it, actually made it manifest. Now there's no longer any need to interpret that. It's already been interpreted. You brought it to pass. So, Lord, we can hold on to that very same word with the same expectations. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, Lord. There was a time when we were just so confused. This one's saying this, that one's saying that. Our denomination is saying this. We've been taught that. What are we supposed to believe? But Lord, you settled that for us. And Lord, we'll be eternally grateful for it. Because without your word restored and interpreted, manifested, it would be impossible for this great. You said that you would gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. That gathering is taking place even now, but it's the word that's bringing it. It's that living word coming down into the hearts of the believer, and it's the power that's in that word that's bringing it. So Lord, we recognize that we don't have a thought coming. Lord, we don't have a dog in the fight, as the saying goes. We don't care what we have to do as long as it's your word. That's all we care about. Your ways are the best ways. Your choice is the best choice. What you've called us to be in this life is the best thing that we could ever be. And we'll never be satisfied trying to be something else. Lord, we don't want to be a second rate something else tonight. We want to be exactly what you called us to be. We want your word to be made manifest in our lives. We say unto you tonight, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Father, I pray that you move upon each and every heart, whether we're in the building, whether we're listening in or will be listening in. And Lord, may May our focus be on this oneness taking place in the body. Not that we're going to help it along, because we can't make it happen. We can't manufacture it. And we're not even implying that tonight, Lord. But we do need to have our vision upon it. We do need to recognize that that's your promise, that that's your desire. And we do need to be looking for it. Just as you said, when you see this happen and that happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Why look up? Because it's needful that we look up. Because we're looking for what is coming. And we know, Lord, that in every age, you have always shown your people what's going to take place in their day. And they've always looked toward it. We know that when the Messiah came to the earth, we know the people were looking for the fulfillment of Isaiah and the different prophecies. We know that when you raised up a deliverer in Egypt, we know that there was a people that were crying out for the promise that you'd promised, for it to be manifested and declared. There are people that were looking for that promise to come to pass. So Lord, if there's going to be a union, if there's going to be a oneness that takes place in the mystical body of Christ that's on the earth, and of course with the headstone that's uniting with the body, well then there necessarily must be a people that are looking for that, that are in expectation, and they're saying, Lord, if anything in my life is in the way, I want to set it aside, because I want your desire to be fulfilled. Your desire, you deserve it, Lord. And we know that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, if I'm a part of that body, then I must be looking for your will to be done in my life. We saw that the pattern that was already established. For the word tells us, Jesus himself, the living word, said, I seek to do the will of my Father. That word seek means looking for, being in expectation of, being ready to surrender to. Your disciples asked for you to teach them how to pray. And in that, it wasn't just an accident. You put that desire in them for them to ask that. But you told them to pray that your will, which is in heaven, would be done here on the earth. That's our desire here tonight, Lord. We're not here to make a reputation for ourselves. We're not here to be selfish. We're not here to push other people out. We're here to see that oneness in a body. We're here to see your word become power, manifested in the lives of sinners saved by grace. Father, we know that there's more room. We're not trying to whittle things down and narrow things down so hard that nobody else can make it. Whosoever will, that's our desire. But Lord, we want to fully grow up into the head. We want to see this oneness, this unity that you've prayed for. We want to see it in the body. Won't you grant it, Lord? Father, as we enter into this weekend, may we all enter into it prayerfully for the services that are coming up. Each and every one of us, Lord, in our own way, whatever requests that we might have, may we make it known to you, Lord. Whatever part that you put on us to play, may we be faithful to do that. May we not look to what other people are doing, but say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Be it unto me according to thy word. Your will is perfect, Lord. And Lord, as we all get to the place where we're all surrendering to your will, we'll see your perfection taking place in a body where that word is manifested. That's perfect word. Bless each and every one tonight, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures. Father, if we're struggling tonight with different things, May we recognize, Lord, that we'll never overcome things by ourselves. It's the Word made power. May we, instead of looking at ways of where we can defeat this or that, may instead, Lord, may we look for Your Word and what Your Word has declared for our particular situation. May we feed upon that. May we speak it, quote it, until we truly believe it, until it's quickened to us. And then the power that's in that Word, it will accomplish what You sent it to do. And we'll know that it was You, that it was not us. There'd be nothing for us to brag about, nothing for us to... We'll know. It's humbling, as a matter of fact. Recognizing just how simple it is that it's Your Word made power. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord. I thank You for each and every member of this body and every part, Lord. People willing to step in and help out wherever they can. Thank You for Brother Jude stepping up here tonight, Lord, and other times. The enemy will tell us sometimes, well, we're second, third, fourth string. No, we're not. We're whatever You called us to be, and nobody can take our place. Nobody can take His place tonight. He's supposed to be here. We thank You for it, Lord. Father, we recognize it. It's Christ in each and every one of us, the hope of glory. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to recognize the Christ that's in each and every one, that it's one Spirit that's operating one body. We thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We surrender to You. We ask these things in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And the church says, amen. He is my peace. Cast all your cares. So cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Amen. He is our peace. Lord, You're my peace tonight. He is our peace. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. So cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He is our peace. Thank You, Lord. He is our peace. He is my peace. Has broken down every wall. Thank You for breaking the walls, Lord. Thank You, Lord. He is my peace. Thank You for bringing me that peace. He is my peace. Hallelujah. He is my peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is my peace. Thank You, dear Lord. Thank You, Lord. He is my peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I cast all my cares on Him. For He cares for me. Hallelujah. He is my peace. Thank You, dear Lord. Thank You, dear Lord. He is my peace. Amen. So I cast all my cares on Him. For He careth for me. Thank You, dear Lord. He is my peace. Amen. Hallelujah. He is my peace. Amen. Can you say amen to that tonight? Is He your peace? They say there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Well, He's already come in the hearts of the believers. There'll be no peace for the world, but He is your peace tonight. He's broken down that middle wall and taken away the enmity. Aren't you glad tonight? Hallelujah. Our battle isn't with one another. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. And He's made the way for us tonight. Do you believe that? You realize the saints of all the ages are waiting on you tonight? They are. There are certain things that have, you know, the word comes to a prophet in a vision. And there's an order to it, right? We've heard visions where, okay, this man has to come in and he's got to wear a brown jacket and he's got to have a brown hat. He's got to come over here and lay the hat over here. And then a woman with the red dress has to sit down over here and she's got to be crying. And then, thus saith the Lord, this person is going to get up and they'll be made well. You can try all you want, but until those things take place, that last thing is not going to happen. Though it's supposed to happen, though it's prophesied to happen, it won't happen until these other things happen, right? The dead in Christ will not rise until we are in our place, right? They've already played their part. And without them playing their part, we wouldn't be here tonight to be able to play our part. So they've played theirs. Now we got to play our part. And what is our part? Whatever it is, Lord, be it unto me according to Thy word. Let Your word be manifested in my life. Let it be performed. Amen. Amen. One more time. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall.